Good morning. So good to be with you this morning, and especially those who may be visiting with us. I encourage you to come back at any opportunity you may have. And it's always a great blessing to be together with brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're so thankful that each one of you here this morning. Before we enter our lesson, let's go to God in prayer. God, holy and righteous Father in heaven, we just pray your blessings upon this time together as we have worshiped, or as we worship you in spirit and truth this morning. We pray that we will continue to honor you with the fruit of our lips, the attitude of our heart and our mind, and that our whole being, our soul and strength can be dedicated to you in all we do and all we say. Father, we just pray you bless those who are assembled this morning. Father, we pray that you be with those who are unable to be here for one reason or another. And Father, we pray that we can encourage them and help them be a part of the service at the next point in time. Father, we're so grateful for your son Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. And Father, that we are reminded that he rose from the grave and gives us that hope of eternal life. Father, we're so grateful that you have given us your word. And we pray that we'll be diligent in studying it and sharing it with those who are lost and around about us. And Father, that we can make an impact for the cause of Christ. We thank you that you continue to watch over us and you have promised to be with us always. And we pray that you will be with us as we go through the remainder of this day. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. A new minister stood at the church door greeting members as they left the Sunday morning service. He just finished his sermon, and most of the members were very gracious as they were departing the building. Except there was this one man. And this one man came and said, "That was a very dull and boring sermon, preacher." And then a few minutes later, the same man came again and appeared in the line and said, "I don't think you did much preparation for your message." Finally, the minister could not stand any longer, and he went on to ask one of the elders and inquire about this man who kept coming to him and sharing these different kind of derogatory comments. And finally, the elder came up and said, "Oh, don't let that guy bother you. He's just a little slow, and all he does is go around repeating what everyone else says." I'm sure we have all heard preacher jokes, and it seems that with other occupations and jobs, there are those who probably don't represent the task of preaching as well, and sometimes there are jokes that are made. But all joking aside, the Bible does present preaching as a very important part of our life and part of our worship and the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So why is it that it is so important? Why is it that we need to hear preaching? And why do we need gospel, faithful gospel preachers in our day and time and ever since the time that Jesus died and was buried and resurrected? Why is it? Well, if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to Romans chapter 10. And Paul helps us to answer this question in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Notice what it says. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." The primary way God has chosen to relay his message in this world that we live in is through people. Through people who teach and preach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see not only here, but throughout the pages of the New Testament, that the way his message was spread is through the preaching and teaching of his word. This morning in the bulletin, if you were able to get one, I encourage you to pick one up if you have not before you leave. But in the bulletin, I've written an article that I was encouraged to write and think about the question of why I preach. I'd like to spend a few minutes this morning continuing to answer that question because of this great task and great responsibility that is so prevalent and important throughout the word, preaching. Why do I preach? Well, number one, as I think about why do I preach, number one, because God is a God who speaks, and his words need to be proclaimed. As we open up the pages of the Bible from the very beginning, we see that God spoke. He spoke the days of creation into existence. And from that time on, we see that God continued to speak. He spoke through people like Adam and Eve, from Noah to Abraham, Moses, David, Elijah, and many others in between and throughout. And as we come to the pages of the New Testament, we see he continues to speak. And primarily he speaks through his son, Jesus Christ. Notice in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, notice what it says in regards to God speaking. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in a time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in the last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. The Bible teaches us that God spoke, and now has spoken through his Son, Jesus Christ. And probably an important question to ask is, what did Jesus speak? Someone might say, well, he spoke many things. But as we see that he begins his ministry in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that he came not only healing and not only telling parables, but he came preaching. Notice in Mark chapter 1, verse 38 and 39. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout Galilee and casting out demons. Notice that all the great works that Jesus Christ came to do, that a part of his mission and a part of his plan and a part of his work was preaching. Preaching of the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. The good news that he has come into the world and he is going to go to the cross and he's going to die and he's going to be resurrected. Good news that salvation is being offered. And notice while Jesus preached, he says this, for this is the purpose I come forth. See, it was Jesus' goal to come to this earth. It was his goal to come to seek and save that which was lost. It was his goal to proclaim that and preach those words of good news. And we see as we read through the life of Christ in the Gospels accounts, that beginning in Galilee and Samaria and Judea, Jesus preached and he taught, and his message was of good news to all who would listen. He preached till he went to the cross. And even while he was on the cross, he was still teaching and modeling and setting example. And then after we see that he was crucified and was buried in that tomb, that he rose from the grave, and for 40 days he taught, he preached to those that he appeared to. The Apostle Paul says over 500 that he appeared to at one time. Jesus still speaks today, even though he has ascended to heaven. How do I know that? We'll turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Notice what Jesus says again before he leaves this earth. Jesus tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This being true, we see Jesus still speaks. He still teaches through his word that has been written, who is relayed through the Holy Spirit to us even today, so that we can be able to understand and be able to know his truth. In Mark 16, and verse 19 through 20, the word that Jesus preached is relayed to his followers and expected to be shared with others. Notice what it says. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. See, Jesus has left us his ministering servants, those who are his faithful followers, those who are teachers and preachers, to follow in his footsteps, to strive to preach the word, to share the word. And notice what 1 Peter 4 and verse 11 reminds us, that whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves. And so when we see and think about preaching, we need to realize this was God who spoke, and those who follow him need to proclaim it and share it. And this is why Paul is adamant about preaching and teaching in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. And this is why I preach. I preach because God has spoken, and his words need to be continually spoken today. But number two, I preach because people need to hear the gospel. I came across a story of a young man who was beginning his preaching day and a career at a congregation that was located in a college town. He was embarrassed by the thought of the countless professors and the educated individuals in this congregation. He is just fresh out of school. And there is these well-seasoned, educated individuals. And so he goes to his dad, and his dad is a wise old minister. And the young man begins sharing that, he said, I'm afraid, Dad, that I'm afraid to make an illustration or mention something about geology. Because there is a geology professor there, and I'm afraid he's going to correct me or show me how I'm wrong. And then he went on and talked about a history professor and how he's afraid that he might get something out of line in history. And then he went on and talked about there's an English professor there, and on, and afraid that what he might say might be corrected, might be taken the wrong way, or maybe inaccurate. And he is just kind of apprehensive about the whole situation. The wise old minister, his father, replied, do not be discouraged, my son. Preach the gospel. They probably know very little of that. How true that we live in a day and time that is very educated and very cultured, that we have probably the greatest resources at the fingers of our tips, that we can find any information with a click of a button or a swipe of a finger. And yet, as educated and as knowledgeable as we live in a day and time, how many people know the gospel of Jesus Christ? See, I preach because people need to hear the gospel. There are people who do not know. It is interesting that we live in such a day and time that we are so educated in many things, but the ancient words of God have oftentimes been neglected. And so it reminds us as we read through the scriptures the urgency to preach and teach those who are lost. Again, Christianity is a taught religion. It is a religion that is to be proclaimed and shared and instructed with others. Notice in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, where faith comes from. It says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is in the same context in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15, that was read earlier that reminds us of the need and urgency of preaching the gospel. Paul was so burdened with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he was dedicated his life to preaching and proclaim it. And notice in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, he says, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Paul had a burden for lost people. He had a burden for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's this very burden that we should have today. I wonder, how do we look at our world? How do we look at our friends and neighbors? How do we look at those around us that aren't here this morning? Have they heard the gospel? Do we have a burden, a desire, a yearning to be able to share this good news? Jesus tells us in Mark 16 and verse 15, sometimes called the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus is telling us that we are to go into all the world, go into the world where the gospel is not. It may be into the world of our families or into our workplaces or our campuses or in the anywhere we have influence and have that gospel message shared. His words not merely addressed to preachers or teachers or missionaries, they're addressed to all his followers. And all this being true, we're also reminded not all of us can be public proclaimers of the word. And so it is that you and I have different functions and different goals and different talents and tasks that we can do. But in whatever ability we may have, I believe the Bible is clear. We need to make the most of every opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is one reason why I preach. Have an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. But number three, I preach to build God's kingdom. To build God's kingdom. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 33, we see that Jesus relays a parable. In fact, it's a series of parables in that chapter. But in this one parable, he tells a parable of the mustard seed and how it was planted, something very small, very, very tiny as the mustard seed. But it grew and it grew and it grew, and it was being able to benefit creation and support the birds and the environment around it. Jesus uses this parable as an illustration of the kingdom of God, reminding us that it will start out very small, but it will grow into all the world. We see this being displayed in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we see Jesus telling his apostles to start preaching in Jerusalem. The gospel starts out small in Jerusalem with these 12 men. Then it will expand to Judea and Samaria and to all the world. It's interesting as you read through the book of Acts that we begin with just a small amount of people. But then by the end of the book of Acts, we see that the gospel message is going out into the Roman Empire and into all the world to where we have been blessed by it. That gospel message that was preached and proclaimed, that kingdom of God that started in infancy has come to us. Jesus reminds us that the church and the kingdom are synonymous, and the church is to be built up, it's to multiply, it's to grow into all the world. But Jesus is not just talking about numerically. He's just not talking about numbers. We see a number of instances throughout the scriptures where the church and Christians are to be built up. In Acts 14:22, we see part of Paul's mission was not only to proclaim the message, but also strengthen the souls of the disciples, encourage them to continue in the faith, despite many tribulations that they might have in the kingdom of God. They were to encourage and to continue in the faith, building up faith. But then we see in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is the church to be built up in faith and be encouraged, but we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to continue to mature in our knowledge, in our grace, relating to Jesus Christ. Then in Ephesians 4 and verse 15, it reminds us that in every aspect of our faith, every area of our service in the kingdom of God, we are to grow. Notice what it says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. So our ultimate goal is to grow, to build up the kingdom, to grow the church, to ultimately to we look like and act like Jesus Christ in this world. And so what a great challenge. What a great goal. And this is why I preach, to help God's kingdom to be built up. Not only to grow numerically, but also to grow spiritually. And number four, I preach to change lives. There's a story told of an Indian who had attended services one Sunday morning. The sermon, which contained very little in the way of spiritual food, had been rather loud in spots. And the Indian, a Christian, was not impressed. And when he was asked how he liked the sermon, he said, "High wind, big thunder, no rain." Sometimes that's the way we look at preaching. It's just a bunch of hot air. It's just a reality that some people say. But preaching is so much more than just hot air. The Bible presents preaching as something that will change lives. It will change the way that we will live in this world. It changes and should change the way we behave. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, notice what it reads. "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." See, the Bible, God's inspired word, is designed to change people. It is designed to correct, to teach, to train, and to be able to help us equipped in every good work. That's life-changing. Paul continues to instruct Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Paul is constantly telling Timothy, and we could look at others, Titus, for example, in the New Testament, where the teaching and the proclamation of the word is to be done in such a way that it changes one's life. Isn't that why Jesus Christ came to this world? To change us from being a person who lives and dwells in darkness to a person who dwells and lives in light? Isn't that why we see and read and study the Bible? To go from sin to righteousness? And that's exactly what Paul is reminding us. That the proclamation and preaching the word must be done in such a way that we have changed lives. Look at the life of Paul. When we are introduced to Paul, his name is Saul. He is a persecutor of the church. In Acts chapters 8 and 9, we see that he is breathing out threats towards the church. He is trying to persecute. We later find in his writings he wanted to destroy the church. And yet, as we see that he encounters Jesus, he goes to Damascus and he is baptized. His sins are washed away. He receives his sight. We see he is a changed individual. He changes from a person who wants Christ and his church to be dead to someone who is promoting and striving to even be willing to die for Christ's church. That is an example of a changed life. See, Paul's life was changed. It was transformed by the teaching and message of Jesus Christ. And Paul reminds us of his changed life over in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11. He states, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others." If there was anyone who could be able to talk about the fear of the Lord, if there was anyone who could understand the reverence of God, it was the Apostle Paul. And so when we see in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he has this to say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." This is coming from the words that were inspired by the Holy Spirit, but also words that the Spirit used from a man who was transformed, a changed life. That's really what preaching is about. It's not about hot air. It's not about just wasting time. It's about hearing words that will change our lives. It's about hearing words that will help us to be a better husband, a better wife. It's about hearing and digging into the Word and make us a better student at school, a better child at home to our parents. It's just being about a better neighbor, about being a better co-worker. It's about being a better person to honor God and show reverence to God in our everyday life. And that's why preaching needs to take place. But what if we don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? What if we don't take this time seriously? What if we do not preach the message of God as taught in Scripture? There's a story told of three people who came to a church service. The first was a businessman who was failing and was contemplating suicide. The second was a prodigal youth deep in sin who was planning a robbery. And the third was a young woman who was tempted to depart from the path of virtue. The service started. The congregation sang a song about building the walls of Zion. The minister spoke an eloquent prayer to the Lord and then preached on the theme, "Is Mars inhabited?" Afterwards, the businessman committed suicide. The boy stole and landed in jail, and the young woman began a life of moral shame. That story may be a little bit of an exaggeration, but I'm afraid that it's not far off from the things I hear, from the things I am told, and oftentimes the way people who are call themselves Christians live. I also realize there is a two-way street when it comes to the preaching of the gospel. There needs to be faithful gospel preachers. There needs to be faithfulness to the text of the Word of God, but there also needs to be those who are hearers. And sometimes we do not give the hearers an opportunity to wrestle and to teach and struggle with the text and proclaim the truth of the text. And so the Bible reminds us that the text, the Word of God, needs to be proclaimed. And those who proclaim it faithfully will be changed and transformed. 1 Corinthians 9 and 16, Paul proclaims, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Church, I preach to proclaim the gospel. Sometimes it's not going to be comfortable. Sometimes it's not going to be exciting, but a reminder, we got to be reminded that the words of the Bibles are to help get us to heaven. The words of the Bible are to help us change our lives, because the lives that we're living oftentimes do not match up to what God expects of us, and we need to be reminded of that. We need to be challenged by that, and we need to be prepared for the day when this world will not be any longer and Jesus returns. And we'll face eternity. And that's why I preach. I preach to help people get to heaven. Finally, as we conclude this morning, I believe I can say, as Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 2, 1 through 2, "And I, When I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you a testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Church, I've not come here with lofty speech or great wisdom. I've come to preach and teach about God, his plan of salvation, and helping people get to heaven. I realize I spent some time this morning looking at why I preach, and I believe it's essential to any work of the church to understand why. Why do we do what we do? Why do we have preaching? Why do we have this time set aside to proclaim God's word? And well, we hope to answer some of that this morning. But like those questions, I think we can also ask some questions of ourselves that are very important and just as needed to be answered. And some of those questions we each need to ask individually, such as, why did I come to worship today? Why do I teach a Bible class? Why do I serve as an elder or a deacon? Why do I help with the children or fix food when the need arises within the congregation? Church, why do we do what we do as Christians? Is it rooted in the Word of God? Are we obeying what God has spoken? If not, what needs to change? What do we need to do different to make our lives right with God? And so it may be here, you're here this morning, and you need to make things right with God. Maybe you're not a Christian, and you're here, and you have not obeyed the gospel. And so you need to repent of your sins and confess Jesus the Lord and put him on baptism. We'd be glad to help you with that this morning. Or maybe you're here and you've done that, but for some reason, you don't know why you're worshiping. You've gotten off track. You're not fulfilling what God has designed, and you're not living the way he expects. Will you repent this morning, make things right with him? If so, will you make your way down the aisle and come to the front? We will be glad to help you. Come now as we stand, as we sing.